You're listening to a podcast from Victory. As believers, what is our role in discipleship? Find out in week 3 of our new series, Simple.
Good to be back. I'm glad to be with you here this afternoon to be the one who will be sharing on the third part of this series called Simple. This is our way of sharing with us one of our crown jewels here in Victory, one of our core values, which is discipleship. And we're focusing on this area, on fellowship. The first time we talked about how to follow Christ, follow God, Mark chapter 1, verse 17, Jesus spoke to his disciples, and he says, come follow me, and I'll make you what? Fishers of men. And so we talked about fishers of men last week. But today, we're going to talk about something that is not mentioned in that verse, but it's supposed to be part of that verse. How many of you know if you follow Jesus, along with him will be the other disciples? And so if you follow Jesus, Jesus will not just be by himself, but he'll be with the other disciples. And that's what happened during this time. And we had Matthew, who's been a tax collector. He's been trying to get money out from the people. He was sent by the Romans, and at the same time, a Jew, and yet he's trying to get money out from the people, and he would add percentage for himself. And so what a traitor of a person. And yet the Lord called him to be part of his discipleship. Part of that discipleship is a guy by the name of Simon the Zealot. You know why he was called Zealot? Because he was hindi ho siya manghihilot, ano? Zealot, because he was so zealous about the nation of Israel. Very nationalistic. Could you imagine a guy that is so nationalistic about Israel and a guy who is a traitor in the same small group? Could you imagine Simon the Zealot looking at Matthew right after this small group? Kawawa ka sa akin. I could imagine, you know, and yet I believe the Lord has brought them together because of one thing. The gospel of Jesus Christ transformed their lives, and because of that, they can truly love one another. And so therefore, that's what we're going to be talking about today. Next week, we're going to talk about the journey and how we do a discipleship here in Victory. This has been our way of equipping us, and yet at the same time, only this year, we're going to be sharing our journey to the body of Christ this year, March 26, if I'm not mistaken. Some of the people from the body of Christ here in Metro East and in Green Hills and Ortigas will be coming together and will be inviting some of the pastors and leaders from other churches so that we can share the journey which we're going to be talking about next week. Can we just give a lot of praise for that? Hallelujah. One of my favorite professors in a seminary, his name is Nomer Bernardino. He said, if there's truly revival in a city, all churches should be packed. Wow. If it's only Victory that's full of people and other churches are not growing, there's something wrong. It's problematic. If there's really revival in the city, all churches should be full. So what we're doing is we want to bless the rest of the body of Christ. We want to be blessing the pastors. We're going to be blessing them financially, blessing, praying for them, praying with one another. And we're going to share the way we do discipleship. And we can, as much as we can learn from them, we can, I believe, also share with them what we're doing as far as discipleship is concerned. It's going to be exciting. Yeah. You should have invited me for next week, Pastor Mark. So let me focus on our topic today, the church, okay? The church. As we move on today, you know, the book of Ephesians is actually a letter to inspire, encourage, and basically empower the church in Ephesus. And the first 3 chapters is basically talking about doctrines and about our positions in Christ as believers. And one of them is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, when it says, it's by grace you've been saved through faith, not by works, so that no one can. Then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, we can put it on the PowerPoint. It says that we are no longer strangers and aliens, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. There's such a thing as household of God. That we are no longer foreigners, nor aliens, nor strangers, but fellow citizens and members of God's household. That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about the church. We're talking about fellowship. What is fellowship? Fellowship means it's like two fellow in a ship. That they are together in a journey to in a journey called life. We're in this together. It is not just about me and Jesus forever. It's not just you and Jesus forever. It's going to be us together advancing God's kingdom together. You need me, I need you. We need one another in order for us to fulfill the great commission God has given us. What is the great commission that God has given us? To make disciples. The great commission, it is becoming in the churches, it is becoming the great omission. It is not being done, it's omitted. Instead of it being committed, being done and fulfilled on the face of the earth, churches is forgetting its job, which is to make disciples. The body of Christ, you know, the saints, members of God's household, this is our job. And we see in this chapter 4, Apostle Paul's instruction for the church. Now that you have been blessed with all the heavenly blessings that we have in Christ Jesus, don't just take it upon yourselves. Don't just be self-satisfied. Don't just be self-seeking and self-preservation and self-satisfaction. But God wants us, he says in verse in chapter 4, he says that you walk worthy of the calling that God has for you. And so there is a need in this fellowship. There are four aspects I'd like to share with us in order for us to enjoy the fellowship, appreciate the fellowship we have. The first one is the aspect on identity in Christ. Who are we in Christ? Just as I've mentioned, walking worthy of the calling. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about we are no longer aliens, but we are fellow citizens of saints and members of God's household. That's who we are. We are the church. Jesus has to invent a new word, just as the word selfie was invented lately. Jesus, when he came, he has to come up with a word that would describe his people as in contrast to what's happening in the Old Testament. He didn't call them Israelites. He didn't call them, people of God or assembly. He called them a new word that he has invented, and it's called church. Today, it's a religious term, but during the time of Jesus, it wasn't religious at all. They were, kumbaga sa Tagalog, angat sa iba. That the Lord has to invent a new term to describe his people, the church. And so having said that, what are we trying to accomplish in the church? His blessings ought to be advanced, ought to be shared to the rest of the world. And the only entity that he has chosen in order for the discipleship and the blessings to be brought about to the face of the earth, he prophesied and he said, the whole earth shall be filled with the glory of God. And that glory will come through the church. Say, through the church. And thank God that we are part of that church. Yeah. Church is that there's an invisible church. We are members of the saints, fellow citizens, all throughout church history. We are fellow saints with John Calvin, with Jonathan Edwards, all throughout history. We are part of that one church. Currently, a study made that there are 82,000 people getting saved every day because they gossip the gospel. When they gossip the gospel, people get saved all throughout the world. We're second only to Africa as far as Asia. People are getting saved every day in the world. Why? Through the church. And he wanted the blessings of God, the transformation of hearts through the church. He could have charged angels from heaven to do the job, but he didn't do it. Why? Because the angels could not understand and don't have a grasp of the grace of God. Us, we are the recipient of the favor of God. So therefore, we can tell the world about it. Come on. Come on. Let's give a Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Who among you here are recipient of the grace of God in your life? So therefore, you don't tell me when to reap the harvest. Now, nah, that's what Metro East would say. We've agreed it's now, but in Metro East, now, nah. Medyo angat sa iba talaga, no? And I'm so glad that I'm part of what God is doing. That is the universal church, the invisible church. But there's a local expression of that church. And it's expressed to different small evangelical movements across our nation. Specifically in Metro Manila, we're a part of that large body of Christ called an evangelical churches across Metro Manila. But we're just a small part of it. We're called Victory. We're called every nation in the world, but we're called Victory here. Our local expression, we are one church in Metro Manila in 15 locations. But here in Metro East, we're a local expression of Victory here. And through here, we have set of amazing pastors. You know, I always feel little. Every time Pastor Mark, we're going to talk about your script next time you introduce me. Every time he would introduce me, he'd say, give me, because we saw Pastor Mark, his faithfulness through small things. Yeah. And because of that, his heart's desires to expand as well. I asked him one time, I said, Pastor Mark, let's pause for a while because we're building phase two. Let's just pause. Let's not start a church yet. Let all our resources be focused on our phase two. And he says, with humility, he paused for a while. But we can't wait at the middle of this year because we're excited to plant a church in Antipolo already. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amazing. That's our identity. We are fellow citizens. God has called us to walk worthy of the call. King James says worthy of the vocation. Say vocation. Vocation. Calling, kasi you can just almost set aside it, set aside that. But vocation, you are engaged for life. When you say, this is my vocation, what you're saying is, I'm engaged for life. I'm going to be pastor forever. I mean, not forever, for life. I'm a pastor. You know, I'm a running pastor. I'm an eating pastor. Whatever it takes, I am a pastor. All right, this is my vocation. But you have your own vocation. You have been recipient of the blessings of Abraham. So therefore, you have a vocation. You are called of God. And so therefore, our life from Monday through Saturday is the walking out worthy of that vocation. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Second aspect of that fellowship. Verse 1. Let's go read verse 1 first. It says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord. Say, therefore. Every time you see the word therefore, you have to know what was there before. Therefore, that's why I mentioned chapter 1, 2, and 3, the blessings of God. And so I, therefore, having mentioned all of this, as prisoners, he said, I urge you to walk in the manner worthy of the calling for which you have been called. Worthy, to walk worthy. The word walk was mentioned 4 to 5 times in the remaining chapters. Walk in verse 17 with the Gentiles, with the gospel, and then walk in love, walk like children of light, walk in wisdom. So in other words, he's not just talking about gaining wisdom for yourself and knowledge for yourself, but it has to be used and to exercise our faith. We're talking about a spiritual OJT, that we practice Christianity on a daily basis. We don't just practice Christianity on a Sunday. We practice Christianity. Tomorrow, we're going to be facing our satanic boss tomorrow. oh Lord, have mercy, I'm going to meet again my demon-possessed boss, but Lord, have mercy, Lord, give me anointing to cast it out. So that, Lord, at one point you will promote me. And so the grace of God applying Christianity. Number two, we're talking about unity. Let's go to verse 2-3. And it says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Say in love. Love. The word love is the foundation. That's the foundation of fellowship. Yes. Without love, there will be no fellow in a ship. So we need love and be patient, bearing with one another. Long-suffering. Do you know what long-suffering means? You are offended. You have the capacity to hurt the person, but you just pause and a smile in your face. That's long-suffering. You can smack the guy and pin the guy down on the floor, but long-suffering. I love you, bro. Now, how many know that's power? I'm telling you, that is power. Learning how to control yourself with a smile on your face. You've been offended. You've been taken advantage of. You can curse. You can speak negative words. You can trash talk the person. But you can say, God bless you, bro. Huwag mo naman sabihin, kunin ka na sana ni Lord. Under your nose, maybe. Kunin ka na sana ni Lord. Oh, bless me? Yes, God bless you. That's long-suffering, and we need that in fellowship. And then we move on to verse 3, and it says, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Say eager.
Eager.
Alam niyo yung eager? Alam niyo yung hindi ka kumain ng 3 days? Tapos biglang merong sisig sa kamainit na kanin sa harap mo? Mamimili ka ngayon, diretso sa puso? Yung sisig, yung cholesterol mo tataas, or you're so hungry and you've been fasting for 3 days and you have food right in front of you. How many know you don't have to explain to me what eager means? Wala, okay lang yan. You know, no, you don't say okay lang yan. You go devour the food with eagerness, the same way with unity in the Spirit. Say in the Spirit. In other words, this unity is created by God, given by God to us in the Spirit. It is something that He has provided, but there is a contribution from our part. We make every effort, NIV says, to keep the Spirit, to keep the unity of the Spirit. They made a study among Filipinos that if 2 Filipinos will be assigned in a department in a multinational company, multinational CEOs are dumbfounded. They couldn't understand why 2 Filipinos cannot be fruitful in one department. When there's only 1 Filipino in one department, they realize that Filipino could excel and go beyond the job description. And they love Filipinos. Just don't bring 2 Filipinos together in one department. And I wonder why. You know why? Maybe, just maybe, because in our culture, there's this what we call crab mentality. That every time we see somebody succeed in life, we speak negative things. When we see our neighbor drive a brand new Innova or Vios or sports or Mitsubishi car right in front of your house and they parked it, wala pang license plate. Pagbukas mo yung alam yung amoy, yung amoy bago ba? Amoy na amoy mo hanggang sa living room mo. And then you verbally say something in your heart, in your mouth, and says, saan niya kaya kinuha ang pangbayad doon? Crab mentality. Instead of rejoicing, it's wow, my neighbor has a new car. Lord, neighbor ko na yon, malapit na sa akin, Lord. Dapat magbago na tayo. Set aside na yung crab mentality na yan. We bring crab mentality even in church. No more. If somebody gets to be engaged, mag-rejoice tayo. Huwag kang iiyak, pupunta ng CR, umiiyak ka kasi na-engage na yung... Di ba? Ngiti ka na lang. Thank you, Lord. Ibig sabihin, mas gwapo yung bibigay mo sa akin, Lord. Di ba? Instead na iiyak, magmamaktul ka, thank you, Lord. Mas maganda yung ibibigay mo sa akin, ibig sabihin nun, Lord. Instead of you know, trash talking, being negative, there's that spirit of unity. Say, spirit of unity. They are dumbfounded even when they visit mental hospitals. No locks. They're wondering why mental patients would not get out of the hospital, knowing that the locks are not working. You know why mental patients don't go out of the hospital even though there's no guard or anything? Because it's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. They don't know what unity means. I wonder what's the difference between a mental hospital and a church. I wonder. They made a study among evangelical churches. Not study, but it's a phenomenon among leaders. I talked to one of them and he was telling me, Pastor, I cannot understand this, but I want to share this to you. I'm always amazed every time you speak well of one another. Here's Pastor Fair, who just visited us. How can Mark have the guts to introduce him and welcome him? You don't know Pastor Fair, but Mark has the heart to introduce a friend. That's the culture. That's the spirit of our relationships. And he says, I like that, Pastor. Do you know that in an evangelical church, every time the number would reach 70 to 80, approaching 80 members, the church is about to split? You know what split means? It's like hair splits. You know your hair? You have your hair and then there's splits, you know. It's the same way. And he says, every time, it's a phenomenon among evangelical churches. We're talking about gospel-centered churches. And yet there's a phenomenon that happened that as soon as it reaches 70 to 80, the church is about to split. And they call it church plant. It is not, okay, that's church plant, okay? But why is it? Maybe because of that. It's tough to maintain the unity of the Spirit. But we have to put up a fight. When somebody neglected us, forgot our names, it's okay. Jesus loves you and He has a wonderful plan for your life. No worries. Somebody forgot your name, it's okay. Unity is important. That's one of the aspects of fellowship. Apart from unity, the other one is ministry. We move on here, ministry, being equipped to minister. And, you know, we have unity, and yet at the same time, we have diversity. That's part of ministry. I don't want to have 5 points for you today. I just want 4, okay? And so in ministry, we are equipped. What is that equipment that the Lord would give to us? It's the spiritual gifts. The Jesus is the head and we are the body. Yeah. And He used the term body, not an organization. The church is not necessarily an organization. It's an organism. It's a living organism. It has a head, Jesus, and a body with different functions but interdependent. And the Holy Spirit is like the lifeblood of the church. And He supplies the equipment necessary. And these are what we call spiritual gifts. And we have spiritual gifts. All of us. Each one, the Bible says. Let's move on to the next verse here in verse 6, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, let's go. Let's go to verse 6. I like that. Let's go to verse 6. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, and over all, and through all, in all. The word one was mentioned 7 times in verse 4 and 5 and 6. 7 times. God wants us to be united. Verse 7. This is another point I'd like you to remember. But grace was given to each one. One of us, according to the measure of Christ's gift. Say, Christ's gift. In other words, all of us were given a gift. All of us. Wala rito ang pwedeng mag-excuse at sabihin, Pastor, nung nagising ako, nagsabog na pala ang Panginoon ng mga regalo nung natutulog ako. Nung nagising ako, naubusan na ako. How many know God can never run out of gifts for His children? He will never. Come on, let's give a lot of praise for that. He will never run out of gifts for you, kahit nakatutulog ka pa. Yun nga ang iba, absent kahapon sa discipleship 2015 eh. Nakatanggap pa ng ESB, Make Disciples Bible. Tinago ni Mrs. para maibigay kay Mr. Anyways, but the point, even in the Bible, two weren't able to attend in a school of the prophets. And Meldad and Medad, Eldad started prophesying on the streets. They were absent. Let me tell you this. God is a gift for each and every one of you. Question is, have you discovered it yet? Baka hindi pa natin nadidiscover. I'm not talking about your singing abilities. I'm talking about something else. Spiritual gifts written and mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 6, if I'm not mistaken. All the gifts were listed there. What is your spiritual gifts? Why? Because your spiritual gifts is your contribution that you have to put on the table, so that we can help advance the kingdom of God for the common good. Say, common good.
Common.
It is not for yourself, but it's for one another.
Right.
You don't rob me of the opportunity to be blessed by your gifts.
Wow.
But I will not rob you of the privilege and the opportunity for you to be blessed through our gifts. So when you say, oh, wala, hindi naman ako pinapansin sa church, wag na ako umattend. Ah, ganon. Somebody will be robbed of the opportunity to be blessed by you because you weren't around. Come on, let's give a lot of praise for that. We want to be blessed. If you are around, we are going to be blessed for the common good. And then verse 8, then we move on. And the different gifts, and he mentioned about the gifts given. Verse 11, let's jump to verse 11. For God has given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. God has given us. How many of you know our pastors and leaders are gifts? They don't look like gifts, but they are. Then verse 12, it says, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Equip the saints. How many saints do we have here? You are a saint. It's either you're a saint or you ain't. But you are a saint. You don't have to be canonized by Rome in order for you to be a saint. You are a saint now. Look at the person next to you. Mukhang saint ba? But they equip the saints to equip the saints for work of ministry. Say, work of ministry. Ministry, root word of ministry means to serve. Servant, doulos. Servant. Each and every one of us are called to be servants. Work of a servant. We all know what servant is. Some of you, you have kasama sa bahay na tumutulong sa atin sa bahay. And you know what? The Bible says we are all like that. The work of the ministry. Not only for the work, equipping of the saints, but also for the building up of the church.
Yeah.
We have all the gifts in order for us to be equipped for ministry and for the building up of the church. We move on to the next verse. That's ministry. So all of us, we will be able to accomplish what God has given us to accomplish if we will work together. The task of Matthew 28 is so enormous that one person cannot do it alone. If I do the Great Commission as an evangelist, it won't be accomplished. The gospel won't be preached alone by an evangelist. We have to have the prophet, the pastors, teachers, and shepherds, plus the evangelists. We need one another in order for the task of discipleship to be accomplished. We have, you know, the human tendency is to overestimate what we can do as ourselves, as individuals. We overestimate sometimes. We have a high hope for one big shot person. And then we underestimate what the power of a group. We underestimate the power of a community. But I'm telling you today, the Great Commission won't be accomplished without you and I. We need one another with the Spirit of God in order for the gospel to be heard by 20 million people in Metro Manila. 100 million all over the Philippines. 80 million in the provinces. Who among you have relatives in the provinces? They need to hear the gospel of Christ. And it will take all of us. Say ministry. Then we move on to the last one, which is maturity. Maturity. What is verse 13 saying? And we're going to pray. Verse 13. Until we all attain the unity. Say, attain the unity. In verse 3, it says it was given by the Holy Spirit, and we maintain it. It's something that we possess. Yeah. And yet in verse 13, it's something that we attain. It's a goal. That all of us, it's a goal, unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. Say, mature manhood. Mature. Now, you know what it means by mature manhood. In other words, to mature, okay? So if you're a woman, it's okay. This can still apply to you, right? And then the next one of that verse, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Say, fullness of Christ. Fullness of Christ. The stature of the fullness of Christ cannot be attained by one person. We have to have we. We have to have one another in order to fulfill and come up to that place of fullness of Christ. We move on to the next, verse 14. It says, so that we may no longer be children. Say, children. There's a big difference between a childish person and a childlike person. Who among you are childlike person? Raise your hands. Some of you, alin ako dun. Who among you are childish? Don't raise your hands. But Apostle Paul used the word children. He's talking about infantile gullibility. It is, nako sobra. 40 years old, ganun pa rin ang pag-iisip. Gullible. And now he's talking about maturity, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Lahat ng podcast na napapakinggan, may napakinggan lang na bago, nagbago na isip. And then he'll come to church and question the pastor, question the victory group leader. This is what I heard in the podcast. He can easily swayed by what he could hear and read from the internet. Wow. But let me tell you this. You are no longer children. You have foundation. That's why we have foundation class here. Yeah. And that's very crucial. We go through. Do you know that you have one of our best theologians here in this church? Yeah. Dr. Woo. Winston Reyes. Yeah. Come on, let's give a lot of praise for that. So if you're from Victory Metro East, I could expect a strong foundation, hallelujah, by the grace of God. And you'll no longer be children being tossed to and fro. Next verse, next part of the verse. By human cunning or craftiness in deceitful schemes, verse 15. And it says, rather speaking the truth in love, say truth in love. We are to grow up, say grow up. In every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Once again, Christ is the head, we are the body. And he says, you know, in a church while we are advancing God's kingdom, people commit mistakes. People are hurting sometimes. And so he says, speak the truth in love. Now, some people are on the opposites. Some people, they're so loving. They speak with love. But they couldn't step up to the level where they can speak the truth even though it's painful. They avoid it. Hug na lang, beso-beso na lang. But there's no transformation of hearts because only the truth can transform hearts. And so we're afraid to bring the truth. On the other side of the coin, there's so many people who are very good in explaining the truth. But they forgot to love. People are hurting. People now are in body bags because of their truth with no love. And so people are hurting. But how many know we can stay in the middle where we can speak the truth in love? The people are hurting. Do you know that people out there are hurting? Do you know that the church is the dead end in our society, quote unquote? When you face a dead end, have you been to a dead end? You're driving and then you realize there's a wall right in front of you. There's no turning left, right. So you have to make a U-turn somewhere in your car. You have to and move the car back because you got stuck in the evening in a dead end. Do you know that at the dead end in our journey, what we see at the dead end ought to be the church? But most of the time, people are not seeing the church. Instead, they see the basement of Makati Med. Now, there's nothing wrong with orphanages, nothing wrong with places like that in order for people to overcome addiction in their lives. But what I'm saying is, we welcome people in victory, whoever they are. Yes. We don't care what background they have come from. We love on them. Come on, let's give a lot of praise for that. We have a church in Nashville. The name is World Outreach Center. And they have one icon. It's a praying hand of a black and white. Pastor Rice, every time I see him preach, he would always... Pastor Rice, the one who preached yesterday in our discipleship 2015. Every time he would preach with an African-American with him. His name is Timothy Lo, the relative of Jennifer Lopez. I don't think so. Okay. But every time he would preach, Timothy Lo is there. And they would preach together, tandem, every time I would visit Nashville. Why? Because Nashville has been up near, it's a place where Ku Klux Klan started. And so now the church is putting up a fight against segregation. So now his church is filled with whites, blacks, Mexicans, Chinese, Filipinos, siempre, Filipinos everywhere, diba? I mean, the church is just an amazing church. Some people will ask, Pastor, would you welcome the third gender in victory? What do you think? Where else will they find a spirit of community but in the church? We welcome them here. Do we look down on them? I hope not. But do we believe in the gospel? Yes. Do we believe that the gospel can transform hearts? Yes. Hallelujah. So therefore, just hang on for a while. Because one of these days, you will encounter mature manhood. Amen. Come on now. Let's give a lot of praise for that. As I close, it says the scripture in Matthew chapter 15, verse 35. John 13:35. It says, the world will know that you are my disciples. Say disciples. We're talking about discipleship here. The world will know. These all people will know. It become viral. Online viral. Whether through your Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, Friendster, Multiply, whatever account you have. These all people will know that you are my disciples if, say if, you love one another. If you love one another, then people will come up with a conclusion that truly you're disciples of Jesus Christ. When you are being offended and you want to have a heart attack already, you're offended and you were taken advantage of, you smile. You have the capability to speak and curse the person, but you control yourself with a smile on your face. That is power. That is love. I love you, bro. Tanggapin mo na si Lord. And when we do that, then the world would say, talagang may Diyos sa victory. Kasi ang Diyos nasa heart ng mga tao. What else? Jesus said in John 17, says, Lord, you and I are one. But also, believe, you know, he says, I do not ask of these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Verse 21, and they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. Then he says, so that the world may believe. Look at this. The blessings of fellowship is meant for us to touch the world. And he says, may the world believe that you have sent me. If we love one another and we are one with one another, then the world would say and believe the Jesus Christ that you believe. And when you preach to them the gospel, they would agree because they can see it in your lives. I want you to bow down your heads and close your eyes, and we're going to pray. We're going to have a time together. We're going to pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us that, Lord, we are fellow believers, no longer aliens or foreigners, but fellow citizens in God's household. Lord, we remember when we were aliens, when strangers. But Lord, you've taken us out of darkness into the kingdom of light. And we have become your children. Different backgrounds, different accents, different social backgrounds. And yet you brought us into a place called church, where there's fellowship, where there's life, where there's generosity, where there's encouragement. Lord, we receive it today. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. Thank you, Lord, for this person on my left and on my right. On my person on my back, right in front of me. I may not know all of them, really. But Lord God, I thank you, though. I am in a place where I can be, where I can call home. Where there's a sense of community and acceptance and trust. And because of that, Lord, people from the outside would say, can I come in? Can I be part of your community? And then we say, yes, you can. But this is not about membership signing a piece of paper. But it is through the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes hearts. Oh, Lord, I thank you. Have mercy, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you have come and reminded us as a church that you are the head and we are the body. And the Spirit of God is the lifeblood, Lord, through the gifts that you've given all of us. Because together, we can advance the kingdom. Fellowship that you bless us with is meant, Lord God, to touch others. And we're grateful for that. In Jesus' name.